हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। Okay, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 7, The Lord's Tour of South India, verses 27, 129, page 16. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further advised the Brahmana Kurma, if you follow this instruction, your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. Indeed, if you follow these regulative principles, you will again meet me here, or rather, you will never lose my company. Srila Prabhupada, this is an opportunity for everyone. One simply follows the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the guidance of his representative and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, teaching everyone as far as possible the same principle. The contamination of the materialistic way of life will not even touch him. It does not matter whether one lives in a holy place like Vrindavan, Navadvip, or Jagannath Puri, or in the midst of European cities where the materialistic way of life is very prominent. The devotee follows the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He lives in the company of the Lord. Wherever he lives, he converts that place into Vrindavan and Navadvip. This means that materialism cannot touch him. This is the secret of success for one advancing in Krishna consciousness. See, as if we're seeing everything as Krishna and his energies, then that means that wherever one is, one is situated in Krishna's energies. Material nature is actually the mentality that I'm not the servant of Krishna and that this material, you know, Krishna's energies are for me to control and enjoy. But if we are able to appreciate that, no, it's all Krishna, so it's for his service, then if we're engaging in his service, then wherever we are, that will be unaffected by the materialistic way of life. Because everything is situated in the Lord. So it's an illusion that there's anything separate from the Lord. Of course, there is the temporariness of the material energy. You do have that aspect. You know, it is made of inferior energy. But the point is how it is the Lord's energy. So if you're seeing it in the context of Krishna, you're getting the benefit of always being associated with Krishna. But if we don't see it connected to Krishna, then Maya's illusion is there that we think we're not connected with Krishna. So that's that secret that he's talking about here. So the simple instructions, he says, means the point's very, very simple like that. But at the same time as we, you know, for us, we tend to make it complicated, but it's actually very simple. Like someone was asking about the Purushottam month. You know, so what's the vrata? You know, before no one was really into it, but now everyone's into it. They do more and more far out different things and this and that. But Krishna's, his point is that Purushottam month, it's named Purushottama because it's named after Krishna. And so like Kartik, it's just meant for devotional service. So the interesting thing is in Kartik, you know, you might have some auspicious times or this or that, you know, for doing any kind of particular activities. But in Purushottam month, there are no times for auspicious activities. It's just not used. So that means all there is only devotional service. So it's a unique month like that. It's just meant for devotional service. That's all it's meant for. So hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, then if you, you know, so whatever you would do to keep yourself engaged, that's the main thing to do in that month. Then if you can take bath in an auspicious, you know, like in the Ganga or in the Jamuna, if you can give in charity, these kind of things done in this month, then it gives that devotional credit. You know, you won't get this or that or other things. So that's the point. There are no times for auspicious activities. There is no material result from the month. It's just straight spiritual. That's the uniqueness of the Purushottama month. Right, so, but we, you know, we'll add on to it and complicate it and get it. No, you have to stand on your head, and while you're standing on your head, you know, then you got to, how you say, you know, rub your stomach and that, and spin around at the same time like that, and you know, do all kind of whatever it is. We'll just make up stuff, you know, and somehow or another, that's very strict. But it's not about that. It means you can be austere, meaning you know, you're very serious. You read, you chant, you get up early, you know, just increase devotional activity. So. It would be like what you would do as extra activities on any, you know, any festival or, you know, special occasion like that. More hearing and chanting, you know, more absorbed in Krishna, less distracted by other activities. That's what it's for. So that's why you're saying even the Chaturmasa is not followed during that time. So it's just meant for that. Of course, for the materialists, they'll take it that it's the worst month because it has no timings for them to do any of their rituals or auspicious activities. So all they're left with is worship of Lord Vishnu. And so they're not necessarily overly pleased with that, right? So that's why, in one sense, it's the Malamas, you know, it's just, you know, they're just thinking it's the useless month. But it, actually, it's the month that can remove the greatest amount of impurities from the heart. You know, so the Purushottama month, then Kartik, of course, you know, then taking bath in Magh and in Chaitra, Vaishak, all these different things. There's so many different vratas and they're all connected and everything. But the Purushottama month then is considered, it's directly connected with Krishna, right? The other months are connected with Vishnu. But this month is directly connected with Krishna, right? Like that. So special like that. Okay. 27130. So the point is that Krishna consciousness is actually straightforward, very simple. That doesn't mean that it's not sophisticated in its presentation, explanation of the philosophy. But the point is it's not complicated. It's simple. Because descending is always simple. Ascending is always complicated. 27130. At whoever's house, it whosoever, no, at whose ever house, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his alms by taking bhishad. He would convert the dwellers to his Sankirtan movement and advise them just as he advised the Brahmana named Kurma. So he's giving the same instruction to everyone. So we hear it in the context of the Kurma Brahman because he asked. But everyone else, there, he's telling the same thing. Srila Prabhupada. The cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explained here very nicely. One who surrenders to him and is ready to follow him with heart and soul does not need to change his location, nor is it necessary for one to change his status. One may remain a householder, a medical practitioner, an engineer, or whatever. It does not matter. One only has to follow the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and instruct relatives and friends in the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. One has to learn humility and meekness at home, following the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in that way, one's life will be spiritually successful. One should not try to be artificially advanced, be an artificially advanced devotee thinking, I am a first-class devotee. Such thinking should be avoided. It is best not to accept any disciples. One has to become purified at home by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and preaching the principles enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, one becomes a spiritual master and be freed from the contamination of material life. So the whole idea that one is absorbed in Krishna, one is taking that humble, submissive service attitude, you know, like that. One is preaching, one is doing all these things. He says here, it's best not to accept any disciples, meaning that if it is their acceptance of disciples has an advantage in the preaching and all that kind of things like that, one's in that position that can take it, one can be involved in that, then that's fine. But it shouldn't be one's thinking that it's necessary to take that and the prestige and standard, like I've heard sometimes before, oh yeah, yeah, you guys are all taken care of so nicely, you have disciples and all that, they'll take care of you. And this, it's just looked at as a purely mundane thing, like, like having children and grandchildren, they'll take care of you. You know, so that kind of mentality, then better best not to accept any disciples. You don't get distracted. You take care of your own things that are going on, chant Hare Krishna, preach to others how much you can, take prasad, you know, keep life simple and always remain meek and humble. Then the whole process will work. Because that humility and meekness, that's what starts the process. If humility and meekness is there, then you can surrender. Right, so then you can accept and give up, accept things favorable, give up things unfavorable, and see Krishna as one's maintainer and protector. So when you start like that, the cycle goes to there. Then one is able to always identify oneself as servant of Krishna. One's always able to have that proper attitude in serving Krishna. You know, but then it'll come around. So it starts because of that mentality that's perfected in the Uttama stage. And then it brings you to the proper, the neophyte, the Madhyama. And then it brings you to the mature aspect of the Uttama stage. So it starts there. So if one, the more one advances, the more one is thinking one's advanced, and the more one is becoming proud of that, then on that level, then there's not any advancement. Some other things, yes, purification is there. The process is working. Association of devotees is giving good result. And so, therefore, the heart's getting purified. And so then one is able to, you know, do so many things and nice things for Krishna, but one has to be very careful. If that pride comes up, that will limit how far you can go with that mentality. You continue chanting and everything, heart will get purified. So when one actually does surrender, then it's nice. There'll be very little impediments, but the main impediment will be that lack of humility and meekness. If that's there, then everything works very nicely, right? So that's the point. Whatever position you're in, whatever status, from that position, you can become a pure devotee. Yeah.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Here in the last sentence, it is said about spiritual master. Can we understand that it is more like a Shiksha Guru in that case?
Yes, the whole point is Siksha Guru. See, is that for the preachers, it's the Siksha that's important. So when they see everyone should become Guru, you understand, yes, you go out and you train everybody.
Yes.
Right? So thus one can become a spiritual master and be freed from the contamination of material life. Spiritual master means you are a master in spirit. You teach the spiritual path. But for the neophyte mentality, then it, spiritual master has to be Diksha, because Siksha and everybody else doesn't matter. You know, the only person that matters is the Diksha Guru, and that's it. And so even the instructions aren't that important. So that's why you see it's all Prabhupada, but when it comes to following the instructions, well, you know, we're in this time, we have to do this and that. And, well, you know, the books, you know, people won't like them. Let's change the books and let's do this and that. And we don't have to dress like this. We don't have to dress like that or eat this or that. We don't want to freak people out. And so they're committed to Prabhupada, because you say anybody else, no, only Prabhupada. But at the same time, as then Prabhupada's the important thing, then, okay, then, you know, then, what about after, you know? So this was, no, everybody's senior. Okay, so everybody's senior says, no, then, you know, it's just, it's not very stable, because the emphasis is on the Diksha aspect instead of the Siksha. One takes Diksha because then one's committed to following the Siksha. That's what it's for. So we saw before the famous verse that everyone quotes to prove that, you know, everybody should become a Diksha Guru. He doesn't even mention Diksha. And in the purport, probably never even mentions it. He doesn't even talk about Guru.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, in the purport, he's talking about everyone getting married and stuff.
Yes.
You know, so he's not talking about that thing. So the whole point is this is all expanding, because everybody's talking to everybody else and everybody is taking up Krishna consciousness. That's how you be. Because the point is there's another verse where he mentioned about, you know, the women, the children, that everybody's becoming guru. So then if it's saying, see here, women will become Diksha Gurus. So then according to that same verse, then the children also should be Diksha Gurus. You know, so it just doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty with it, is that if we use this neophyte mentality and don't mature, don't go beyond this need for prestige and everything, because the humility and meekness is not the thing, because, you know, you have to look professional and, you know, be on top of things and be there and be in everybody's face, then yeah, you can do that. But then the problem is the only place where you can maintain that attitude and everything like that and be nicely engaged in Krishna's service is called the heavenly planets with the demigods. Because no one in the spiritual world has that mentality. You know, the sadhakas are supposed to give up that mentality. Demigods, ideally, they shouldn't have, but, you know, at least they're doing big service, so they can be proud. But you see, every time Indra gets proud, what happens? What happens to Nalakuvara and Manigriva when they become proud? Anyone becomes proud, there's always problem.
Yes.
So we have to catch the mood of the spiritual master. That's the whole thing to catch. You know, the mission is Lord Chaitanya's mission given to us by Srila Prabhupada. It's not our mission. Sometimes I hear devotees tell me, you know, I'm following my spiritual master's mission. It says, no, you're not. The mission is Lord Chaitanya's and Prabhupada's. Prabhupada means, in other words, it's Lord Chaitanya's mission given to Rupa Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada shows us how to follow that. So it's not that each individual has his own mission and all like that. Like that. We may play our part in the mission. So you may have your guru Datta Desha within the mission that I'm able to, you know, work in this temple or that yatra or this zone or this service. That's nice. But this whole thing is everybody's got to have their mission. And everyone has to have their thing and their uniqueness. And that, it's not necessary. Otherwise, how do we follow? How are we going to be, how will we be Rupanugas if we can't follow? If it's like we got to be the one doing everything, then what's the point? Well, yes, we do as much as we can. And if we can do a lot, we do a lot. And if someone does a little, he does a little. Point is to be fully engaged, body, mind, and words. Does that make sense? So yes, if it's favorable, one takes up those offices and does, but it's not a prestige thing. You know, the simultaneously saying, oh, there's no difference, it's all spiritual, it's all the same, at the same time is, oh no, it's a prestige thing. It's like, pick one or the other, you know? It doesn't work, right? That's the whole thing. You can't have your cake and eat it, you know? So that's the problem. What to do?
Maharaj, it seems that to catch the right mood of to understand rightly the acharya, actually Prabhupada in the previous acharya, and to take part in that mission without proud, without wanting position like that, it's a big challenge.
Yes, it is a big challenge, but at the same time, it's as easy as this. Make it the challenge. We make it the challenge. It's this simple. This is an opportunity for everyone. If one simply follows the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the guidance of his representative, right? So therefore, we are going to be following our spiritual master, who's the representative of Srila Prabhupada, who's showing us how to follow the teachings of the previous acharyas headed by Srila Rupa Goswami, you know, on the path chalked out by Jiva Goswami.
Yes.
Right? So, yes. And so we fall under the guidance of his representative. Yes, that's there. But we have to understand then what is the mission, what is the mood and all these things. So it is that simple. We complicate it because we put over emphasis on, oh, you can stay at home. So it's all about the home. No, it's not. It's all about Krishna. That's the point. Whether you're at the home, whether you're in the forest, whether you're traveling, whether you're not, it's all about Krishna. Everything you see in context of Krishna, because you're looking at it that you're trying to be, it means, let's take example of the family life, that, okay, so for the family to go on and to be able to be regular in the devotional service, then, you know, you need a place, right? That's good. Yeah. Grihastha's having a place that's very famous, right? You know, it's pretty much everybody expects that's the way it works. And so then you have a, because then the family can then that place steadily and regularly do their service. You can keep the paraphernalia for doing the service. You know, the deity is there, you know, or some altar in some form, some pictures or whatever you have. They're there, and then you do kirtan for Krishna, you cook for Krishna and everything. So to do all that, now that requires money. So therefore, you're going out and having a job simply because it makes money so you can maintain the house so they can do devotional service. It's not about the job. It's not about the prestige of the job. It's about just getting the money to serve Krishna. But it's made out as, no, yeah, I want to have a prestigious job. You want to get this, you want to get that, and have to be professionals and all this kind of stuff. It's like, where does that come from? It doesn't come from Lord Chaitanya. It doesn't come from Prabhupada. None of the previous acharyas say that. So then who says this stuff? Us. And then things get you know, especially the new people, the community people, they never hear about, you know, pure devotional service.
Yes.
And it's just told, no, you don't have to change anything. You just that, you know, we were fanatic before and everything. And so like that. But the point was, is we were fanatic and now we're not fanatic. So it's all about us. What about them? What about the community? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What about the teachings of Lord Chaitanya? You know, the instructions that Srila Prabhupada has given them. That's the prominent thing. So they should be trained. What do we do? So we train everybody. So that's the whole point. Is the Kurma Brahmin's there. Others come to hear from him. They go get convinced. They go back to their villages. They preach to their family and relatives. They become, you know, absorbed in Lord Chaitanya. Others in the village, then they become like this. People from other villages hear about this. They come to that village and now hear about that. Then they become, and this way it just spreads. So every town and village, it's literal. When we say every town and village, there's not, oh, they're just saying that to make it sound like it's big, you know. You know, it's like, you know, I'm saying, you know, like in Europe, you know, they think, yeah, I'm the emperor and everything like that. No, they're not. You know. But, you know, so there's always that thing, is that we have to understand is these things aren't exaggeration. The glories of the holy name, these aren't an exaggeration. So just by chanting, everything will be perfect. And then from the chanting, then naturally all the other things will come. They'll associate with devotees by associating. Then they'll take up bhajana kriya. So that's the time when they'll see how to properly do things and this and that from the association. So they value that. So the first thing is get them chanting. And then if they ask if there's something else we can do or something this and that, then you start adding. What the point is there has to be, one has to be preaching, right? One has to become purified at home by chanting Hare Krishna mantra and preaching the principles enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what you have to do. Be purified at home by chanting and preach. You're at home, you're chanting, you're purified. Then in that state, then you can preach to others. Invite them to your house, go to their house, do some programs, whatever it is, just some way, contact. You know, but for us, if it's not big, it's nothing. You know, something is small. It's like I noticed, you know, someone, oh, we want to start the community, but, you know, we put out notices and that, and you know, the whole, everybody doesn't take it seriously. And that's the thing. If it's like, I decide, I've never cared for community, right? I'm sitting here and then suddenly I think, oh, it's about community. So then I come up with a plan. I put out a thing on the local forum. And then if everybody doesn't respond, then they're all nonsense and they don't care and this and that. And I give up. Well, why don't you start with one person? Talk to somebody like this, that they're interested. Start your program, right? Start the teaching and all that. Start the association. And then from that, they'll talk a few other hours. How is it working here on Lord Chaitanya's tour? Like, did Lord Chaitanya send out a memo? Hey, I'm going down south. I'll be at this point at this. I expect all the, you know, kind of senior leaders of every village in the area to be there. No, he's just there. And whoever's there, that's who he talks to. Like in this area here, the Kurma Brahmin, that's the only one he talked to. But him following it, and then his family, then the others in the village, then other villages around hear about him. They come to see what's going on. They become convinced. They go back. The same thing happens in their village. And then villages out far, you know, because you have a village around, that's other villages. So when they get, then around, that's other villages. And this light just continues. You know, so that's the whole point, is that that's how it goes. It's grassroots. You start with a few people. So I always tell people, you want to start a community thing? Be happy with two or three people that are interested. You know, I say, oh, only two or three people or five people are interested, you know. What's that? You know, there's 500 devotees in the community. Start with that five. That's good. Better than nothing. You know, Prabhupada started with a tree, literally. One tree and a single bongo, not even the double bongos, you know, a single bongo, you know, and a tree, right? And he sat on the sidewalk, not on the grass, because there was a sign, don't sit on the grass. So you got to sit on the sidewalk. So all those programs that happened in that park there were on the sidewalk, not in the grass. You know, Golden State Park in San Francisco, that's on the grass because it's a huge place. But everywhere else, it's on the sidewalk. I think in Washington Square Park, there is no grass. It's only cement. You know, so, you know, hey, you do what you can with what you can. So that's the whole point, is that you just start with something, you keep it simple, and just it expands. It's not complicated. And you just keep at it, and then it goes. If this stuff has been done for the last 40 years, how much it will have grown?
Yes, not.
You know, because people talk about, you know, the community and this and that, and oh, that's not good for the community. Oh, like that. Oh, these brahmacharis. Oh, the temple and like that. But what are they doing? I don't see anything. There might be some individuals who are doing something, but you hear about those communities. Like Vaisheshika, he does a thing with the community there, and you know, he has all kinds of people involved. Like that. You hear about those, but the other ones, you just hear the people talk community. Every meeting's about community, but where is it? You know? Community means common values. That's what community means. It's that simple. So that's the point. The descending process is simple. Keep it simple, and it works. Right? How you say? It's the KISS principle. You know the KISS principle? Yeah?
No.
No? Keep it simple, stupid.
Okay.
You know, stop complicating it. Just keep it simple. It doesn't mean it's not sophisticated, because in the West, they think simple means it's not sophisticated. But that's the whole point, is that if you actually deal in real sophistication, you know it's simple. Like we have this one room in Versailles. Very elaborate, nicely decorated room. Has a nice window on one side, and that, and I think it has either two or three doors on the room, you know? The windows, so it's on the outside, so there's a window, and then you can walk straight in, you walk out the other side, and there's a door the other way. Nothing's in the room. It's empty, except in the very middle of the room, there's one little pillar, a marble pillar. And on top of the pillar, there's a clock. That's all that's in that room. That is simple, but yes, super sophisticated. Yes. That's the whole point, is Krishna and the gopis, it's all simple. They're just cowherds, but how refined is their dress? How refined is that? It's not opulent like Dwarka, right? It's just refined and simple and high class. So that's the whole point. That's our line. Very simple, but very refined. You know, it's like that the cooking Prabhupada taught. That simple thing. You make the chaunce, throw in the vegetables, stir them around a bit, put the lid on the top, open it, stir it a little bit, put it on the top, keep doing that until it's cooked. Right? And so one will think, oh, that's really basic and all that. Yes, it is. No, it's not basic. It's simple. Because other than very, very, how you say, expert cooks, they don't even understand what's going on there. We just think, oh, it's in the pot. But the whole thing is you haven't put water, right? So the whole point is one is that you're frying it, and that always gives that flavor. But at the same time, with the lid on, you're steaming it. And if you put it in, you know, you do it and mix it around, and that, don't sit there and try to fry it out. You just throw it in, mix it around nicely like that, put the lid on. Then whatever liquid is needed for the sub will come out of the sabji itself. And so it will stay moist, it'll get steamed, it'll get fried, and at the end you'll have this nice sabji. And that it's a really, really sophisticated, refined method. Very simple. Like that. It has a term for it. You know, that how the that what that technique. So most people leave the top off and just fry it, and then just, it, you know, it sticks this, that. You have to keep throwing in water and stuff like that. Or they just throw in a bunch of water and just boil it. But to be able to understand what's going on here, it's a very sophisticated technique. But Prabhupada's picked that one thing and then given that. And it works. You can cook any sabji, literally any sabji, in that method, and everybody, it can be successful and always be tasted. Vary the sabji, you vary the taste. You know, very far out. So if you just went that way, anybody could learn to cook. You know, it's like the rat said, right? The French rat. Anybody can cook. Well, it's actually the French rat's guru said that. Yeah, sorry. Right? So that's literally, Prabhupada gave a system that anybody could cook. And then that gets lost. People don't even know that today. They think they're doing all this far out stuff on that. Mostly it's just far out bad. You know, it's just that how to do that simply. It was so tasty, so unique. So that's the thing. We like to complicate things and in the process lose actually the fundamentals. Because from in the inductive processes, everything's down, and then you move up and you get more and more, you know, elevated like that. So you have to leave all this stuff. Yes. But let's say, even you want to do that. Let us say you have writing, okay? You're doing writing and you're becoming more and more and all this. And so whatever you learned in the grade school and all, but do you ever give up the letters? Do you ever give up the spelling? You know, the basic punctuation? No. So that's the whole thing, is the descending. The principles are there. You come down from there. Then, yes, then you can make it out and do all kinds of far out stuff. But that technique that I mentioned, that'll still be used. You know, where it applies, if it's a dry subject or, you know, just a moist subject. But if it's a wet subject, then yes, there are some slightly different. Though you would generally do that in the beginning and then move on to making a sauce. So that's the whole point, is these simple things everybody can do. So Lord Chaitanya is giving something that everybody can do. Devotees were saying like, you know, oh, we can't do all this Harinam and that, you know, things are changing. People are not tolerant of that, you know, this and that, as if the people are. And we're revering them for getting more and more refined. But if they can't tolerate Harinam, how are they getting more refined? How are they getting more broad-minded and liberal? They're getting more and more narrow-minded. You know? So this is the thing. The illusion takes it and twists. Mode of ignorance means what's good you say is bad. What's bad is good. And they're saying you can't do this anymore. Oh, yeah, you can only do that in the 60s, only when there were hippies and all this. As if the hippies were like God's gift to the world or something, you know. And so then this is the problem. And then they went to Russia, the devotees, and they did exactly what they used to do in the 60s. And bang, within a short time they had 100 temples. That's more than America ever had back when Prabhupada was here. And they have even less than that now. They just followed that. And devotees are so shocked. How is this possible? You can't use that anymore. Who said? We decided it doesn't work. So that's the difficulty. is that we complicate things with our complicated systems. Like I was saying, you know, it's like the whole point of Purushottam month is increase, you know, it's like a Ekadasi or Karti. You increase your devotional activities. That's what it's for. But instead, we have to complicate it with, you know, eating 3.5 chickpeas every 4.5 hours or, you know, something we do, you know, like that. You know, so it's we have to be very, very careful. It's very simple system, but simple doesn't mean that it's not sophisticated. Yes. So according to the individual, you take it as sophisticated as you need to. It's whatever is your nature.
Yes.
But otherwise, it is simple. It doesn't require more. So therefore, one can become a spiritual master. Everybody's a spiritual master. Your mother and father are gurus, right? Because they're teaching you and teaching like this and that. And it doesn't, and so they teach you about Krishna that like that. But it doesn't mean that they're the Pancharatrik Diksha guru. You know. So that's the difficulty, is that we have our own interpretations, our own motives. Yes?
Yes, no, yes.
Okay. 2.7, 131 to 135. While on his tour, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spend the night at a temple or on the roadside. Whenever he accepted food from a person, he would give him the same advice he gave the Brahmin named Kurma. He adopted this process until he returned to Jagannath Puri from his South Indian tour. Right? So that was 6 years. And so he did that for 6 years. You don't need a different system. It's a perfect system. You're always absorbed in Krishna. It always works. Thus, I have described the Lord's behavior elaborately in the case of Kurma. In this way, you will know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings throughout South India. Thus, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would remain at night at one place. And the next morning after bathing, he would start again. Right? So he would just on that evening, you know, that would be the main time he'd talk. And then in the morning, there might be a little bit of talk and then he goes. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, the Brahmin Kurma followed him a great distance. But eventually, Lord Chaitanya took care to send him back home. Right? Because he wants to go back. How are you going to get, if every town and village is going to become devotees, that means then they're going to be in their homes. Like that. So here, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Right? You know, stay in your position and always follow the instructions and orders of Krishna as he's given them the Gita and the Bhagavatam. You know, as we hear from the representative of the Lord. That's all. So that's what he did. Verses 136 to 155. Like that. They're like, you know, it's not that he doesn't know. This is what he's telling everybody, because they will take it. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he could tell them that. He won't do it. Therefore, he has to spend, you know, so much time and days discussing Vedanta philosophy. And all these things, you know, I say defeating every argument, every this and that. And you can, yes, you do that if you need to. If that's the kind of person that you bump into and they're inquisitive and they're open, then that's what you do. But otherwise, the people who are simple, they don't have all that baggage. Then they're just willing to follow the instructions and be Krishna conscious. Okay. So verses 136 to 155. The Lord delivers the leper Brahmana Vasudeva. 2.7, 136 to 148. There was also a Brahmin named Vasudeva who was a great person but was suffering from leprosy. Indeed, his body was filled with living worms. Although suffering from leprosy, the Brahmin Vasudeva was enlightened. As soon as one worm fell from his body, he would pick it up and place it back again in the same location. Because the worms aren't really good. They don't have eyes and that, and then they don't have any, you know, hands to grab on with. So as they move about, then they can easily fall out. So then he would just pick them back up and put them back where he was. Then one night, Vasudeva heard of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival, and in the morning he came to see the Lord at the house of Kurma. When the leper Vasudeva came to Kurma's house to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He was informed that the Lord had already left, right? Because he left the next morning. So the next day, people would be talking. Korma would talk to the people. They would talk and this and that. He heard, oh, so he went to come see. The leper then fell to the ground unconscious. When Vasudev, the leper Brahman, was lamenting due to not being able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord immediately returned to that spot and embraced him. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him, both the leprosy and his distress went to a distant place. Indeed, Vasudev's body became very beautiful, to his great happiness. The Brahman Vasudev was astonished to behold the wonderful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He began to recite a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, touching the Lord's feet. He said, who am I, a sinful poor friend of a Brahman? And who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in six opulences? Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. Footnote 2. This verse is spoken by Sudama Brahman in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.81.16, connection with his meeting Lord Krishna. The Brahman Vasudev continued, O my merciful Lord, such mercy is not possible for ordinary living entities. Such mercy can be found only in you. Upon seeing me, even a sinful person goes away due to my bad bodily odor. Right? So to have these kind of things, then generally it'll be seen as bad reactions. So those who are sinful, even they go away, he's pointing out. Yet you have touched me, such as the independent behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being meek and humble, remember this words, meek and humble, right? The Brahmin Vasudev worried that he would become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To protect the Brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly. By doing so, he would never become unnecessarily proud. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudev to preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. Srila right. Prabhupada. Although Vasudev Vipra was a leper and had suffered greatly, still after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cured him, he instructed him to preach Krishna consciousness. Indeed, the only return the Lord wanted was that Vasudev preach the instructions of Krishna and liberate all human beings. That is the process of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Each and every member of the society was rescued from a very abominable condition. But now they are engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. They are not only cured of the disease called materialism, but they are living a very happy life. Everyone accepts them as great devotees of Krishna, and their qualities are manifest in their very faces. If one wants to be recognized as a devotee by Krishna, he should take to preaching work, following the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Lord Krishna himself, without delay. Right, that was the instruction of the Korma Brahman. Right, that same point there. How do you say? Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master. Try to liberate everyone in this land. So he's giving the same point to everyone. So then we see they have the right attitude. The Korma Brahman had that very nice attitude. This Vasudev Vipra had this very nice attitude. So then they're the ones that stand out, that then we see how the Lord is dealing and interacting with them because they have that proper attitude. So you have a very special reciprocation. Yeah. 2.7.149-152. After instructing the Brahmin Vasudev in that way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from that place. Then the two brahmanas, Kurma and Vasudev, embraced each other and began to cry, remembering the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, I have described how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reclaimed the leper Vasudev and so received the name Vasudevamrita Prada. 3. The name Vasudevamrita Prada is mentioned in the verses composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That's interesting. Thus, I end my description of the beginning of the tour of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. his visiting the temple of Kurma and his liberating the leper Brahman Vasudeva. One who hears these pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great faith will surely very soon attain the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. When a person actually revives his consciousness with thoughts of Krishna by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revives his spiritual life and becomes addicted to the service of the Lord. Only then can he act as an acharya. Right? An acharya means one who teaches by example. Right? Doesn't mean he has to be a Diksha Guru. Right? Does that make sense? He can be, but it doesn't mean he has to be. In other words, everyone should engage in preaching, following the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, one will be very much appreciated by Lord Krishna and will quickly be recognized by him. Actually, a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must engage in preaching in order to increase the followers of the Lord. By thus preaching actual Vedic knowledge all over the world, one will benefit all mankind. So here, actual Vedic knowledge means the Vedic knowledge is there, but the actual purpose is pure devotion. And so when one understands that pure devotion to Krishna, that is it, then you're preaching actual Vedic knowledge, because that's the purpose of all the instructions, all the different codes, everything is just to bring ones to the platform of pure devotional service. There is no other purpose to these Vedic codes.
Maharaj?
Yes, please.
We see that nowadays in ISKCON there are so many devotees enamored by so many different things. Because previously when Srila Prabhupada, it was more direct, it was the Krishna consciousness or nothing.
Yes.
Can we say it is because ISKCON as such becomes more as a religion type of society, or because devotees, they become more familiar with Indian stuff, quote unquote, or it just some people, they don't want direct Krishna consciousness, so they try to? What would be the reason?
You're going to have the general aspect that the acharyas are always talking about pure devotional service, because so easily, depending upon our conditioning, we can, whatever is the nature of our conditioning, that can come up and become obstacles to pure devotional service. So if your background is that of karma, you're going to bring up that. If it's that of jnana, you're going to bring up that. Now, what kind of karma? Are you more pious, more sinful? More religious, more regulated, depends. It's a focus on the ashram side, it's on the varna side, it's on the actual organization of it, or it's how everything has to be equal and all this kind of thing. It's all, like these social issues. So depending upon what was your conditioning, because if you check, people who are pushing these different issues today, if you go back before when they were karmis, they were talking the same thing. The same issues. It's not that it's new. These are just old things. It's like each individual, they've been in the movement so many years, but the problems they have are the same ones they had from day one. They're not new. But it's just as you engage in Krishna service, then the heart becomes purified and these become less and less until at one point you can get rid of them. Some things go away immediately, they're not, but other things they stay. And so then, they have to get into these things, because that was the whole thing way back in the 60s. It was all about equality and all that and this and that. It wasn't so popular later and other things, but you see, it comes back now. It's the same thing. So the point is that's why the living entity without Krishna consciousness just moves on from one body to the next. And you do it for thousands of years. Like Prabhupada mentioned about Ravi Shankar, he's been playing sitar for 1,000 lifetimes. And so now he's quite decent. He plays really good. It's recognized in the world as good playing. So that means people have been doing this for a long, long time. So that's why it's called the slow path, because then after 1,000 lifetimes this, and then it slowly moves out slowly and that, it's just, but by Krishna consciousness, everything can move quick. If you let it go, it will go. The areas, the conditioning, yes, the areas of interest will remain, but they can become purified. So if we're not careful, then the aspects of our conditioning, we identify too much with them, and then we take them that, how I feel, that's what's right. rather than know how Krishna feels that's what's right. So objective means Krishna's feelings. Subjective means our feelings. Right? When science is just a covered form of subjectivity. You know, it's my how I perceive it through my senses. Right? And so therefore, because I perceived it through my senses, therefore it's fact. So it's totally subjective. But they have, you know, their fancy terms and ways to go about it. They call it the academic method. So it doesn't look like it's all about them, though it's all about them. Like that. So that difficulty comes up is that we'll be burdened by our own conditioning if we're not careful. That's why it says, Naham vipro na chan na patir na pi vaisha na shudra. I'm not of these aspects, but I perform the duties. Lord Chaitanya says, I'm not a Brahma Kshatriya. But does he do Brahminical activities? Yes. Does he say, oh, I can't do that because it's not his duty? Yes. Then he takes sannyas, he does those duties very nicely. But the point is that doesn't mean that we're that. Right? Just because I go into, let's say, the devotees go into the kitchen and they're going to cook for a program. So somebody cooks the rice, somebody cooks the dal, somebody cooks the sabji, somebody cooks the puris, somebody cooks the pakoras, somebody makes the sweet rice, somebody makes the drink. Does that mean who makes the rice, he is the rice? I am the rice. Be the rice. You are the rice. You know, no, this is not, being Miss America or something. You know, so that's the whole thing. It's not about. You have to be it to do it. That's the illusion. You know, so if I'm not the rice, then why do we need rice? You know, it's like no, we need to cook rice. That's the service. So the Brahminical activities need to be done. The Kshatriya, the Vaishya, the Shudra, the Brahmacharya, has to Vanaprasana, all these need to be done. But it doesn't mean that we are that. It means we take up those duties. And taking up those duties, then we're absorbed. So if we're not careful, then we'll start to think what I think is I'm a devotee. I do devotional service. So whatever I do, you know, and feel and all that, is devotional service. No, it is if it's connected to Krishna. So we connect our nature to Krishna. But if we're not careful about it, we don't understand this. Like if we're rejecting Varnashram, how you'll connect your nature to Krishna? How do you know what it is? We just say, oh, we're not the body. So that means I can do anything. So how do you choose what anything you're doing? What is the rules? How do you do? What's this and that? You know, so that becomes the difficulty. Is that it simply becomes made up. So we make up our own religious process. So when you said, are we becoming more religious? We're becoming more, could say, based on the religious aspects, but it's not based on the Shastric religious aspects necessarily. It's based on our own idea of religion. And so that's the point, is that if a religion comes from the conditioned state, it will have fault. Well, religion that's given by Krishna, that's perfect. And then it's given to us, explained and given to us by the liberated souls. So it's perfect. So if you follow that, then it's fine. But we're interested in sad-dharma, right? Pure devotional service means sad-dharma. If we're just interested in dharma, okay. But if you come from a background that the highest to get is pranamoy, then what? You know what I'm saying? In your experience, how many devotees from a background that they were orthodox? Yes, so then pranamoy is as good as it gets. You know, a touch of manamoy in that they accept that there's a supreme being as far as the philosophy goes. So in other words, pranamoy, by philosophy, you'll get many were there. But by culture, pranamoy is on a good day. You know, so that's the whole thing, that they do everything the way they like because that's the way they want to do it, or it's socially acceptable and they want to be accepted in a certain social status. So that's why they do it that way. And so then yes, it becomes so. In other words, philosophy is Vaishnav, but religion is pranamoy. And then the problem is everybody's from a different pranamoyic background. And pranamoyic differences are famously inimical towards each other. You know, even manamoy means that religions are inimical with each other, let alone within. You know, so then the problem is there's no universality. Therefore, there's no community. I mean, you know, you have some community with certain devotees. But the point is it's not a general thing. But while in those earlier days, even though there's very little to be done, everyone did exactly the same thing. There was community. Every temple you went to, it was home. Everywhere temple you went to, you did exactly the same thing. You didn't change anything. And so you could go anywhere, and it would always be the same. And now everybody does their own thing and this and that, you know. And then you have a problem. So one has to not be attached to one's conditioning. You know, to understand I'm not the body means I'm not the mind. I'm not the intelligence. I'm the false ego. I'm the soul. And so the soul is servant of Krishna. So we're supposed to be conscious of Krishna. So we should be using body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. And how? Favorably. That means it's favorable how Krishna likes it. And it should be free from karma and gyan for what we want to get out of it, instead of, you know, from our motivation. No sound.
I can hear you, Maharaj. I can hear you.
No problem.
No one else can hear?
It was just cut maybe for 2 minutes.
No,
it's okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't hear what I said for 2 minutes?
Yes, for 2 minutes.
Okay. Everybody else did, Marge. I think it was just Devashi Prabhu's connection.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. So maybe it's just Krishna was saying, enough on this topic, move on. Okay. Okay.
Maharaj, may I ask?
Yes.
How we can characterize contemporary India, can we say that it's
contemporary India? But
by culture it's anandamoy, and by consciousness it's pranamoy.
No, it's just a matter of, it means unless you're dealing in India, it's not really important, you know, because it's just a matter of the material world means it'll be dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. That's what they're going to be dealing with. So whatever combination it is, you know how to engage dharma, artha, kama, and moksha in Krishna service. So whichever aspect from an individual or group of individuals comes up, that's the one you engage. So it doesn't really matter what this one or that one, because in each place you'll have all the differences, you know. So there's the modern educated people and how they think. They try to follow after, you know, the Western kind of idea, but do it in their own way. You know, it's like they get, you know, the chow mein from China, and then they put their own spices in it and everything like that. And, you know, so then they like Chinese food, you know, with Indian spicing, you know, like that. You know, like I saw, you get these jauza, you know, you take the regular, like it's like a puri dough, and then you put some slightly cooked vegetables inside and fold it up and then steam it. You ever heard those? Jauza? They call them here in India, they call them momos.
Oh.
Radhacharan, to all panelists, he says, of course. He's heard about it. So, okay, yes. So that's a quorum. but then in Nepal, they're very famous for it. He can eat 30 in one sitting. Okay, that's professional. See? Now that's what we mean by being professional. We don't mean all this other corporate nonsense. We mean 15, you can eat
15 steamed and 15 pan fried.
15 steamed, 15 pan fried. Now in Nepal, because I'm talking about how the, you know, the Indian scene, they take it and make their own thing. Now they take it and then they make a chaunce with chilies and all that kind of stuff like that, and then put in tomato sauce and all that kind of stuff. Make this nice sauce with, you know, cashews and all that kind of jazz, you know, like you would a nice sauce. Then they steam the momos, then they fry them like that, then they put them into the sauce and all that, and they cook a little bit in the sauce and they serve it like that. So that's the whole thing. So you just take, you know what the elements are. It's like the six schools of Vedic philosophy. You know the six schools, so you know what their points are. And so whichever point comes up, it doesn't matter what school it is. We're getting, getting ideas. Yes, very nice ideas. So then it's like the baturas, you know, for the falafels, right? So then you know what each thing is and how to deal with it. And so by that, whatever point comes up, that's what you deal with. Because very rarely you're going to meet somebody who purely talks some. Like I remember Atmatattva once in the 80s, he actually met somebody who followed Jaimini Sutras. So when you were discussing philosophy with him, he would just quote Jaimini Sutras, you know, and then Atmatattva, he had something like this and that. And after some time, then the guy could see the consistency in what Atmatattva is saying. He says, what sutras are you following? You know, he didn't, because he's used to, you know, talking with other Indians that they just talk this and that, however they feel. You know, they know a little of this, little of that, you know, and mix it all up. But he was saying, no, this is one single philosophy. Like I'm talking one, he's talking, what is this one? And he says it was Tattva Sutras. Those 50 sutras, with those 50 sutras, he could defeat anything he said from Jaimini. You know, so very rare you'll find somebody just talks that or just talks Nyaya or Vaisheshika or Ashankya or Yoga. It's always going to be a mix. So whatever it is, you know the points, you deal with it. Therefore, we have, you know, in Prabhupada's discussion with the devotees that they made into that spiritual dialecticism. That whatever point they made, he had an answer. It didn't matter which philosophy it was from, right? So some will consider, oh, but it doesn't represent the Western philosophy. It doesn't matter. It represents what you say if anybody says any of those points. And whichever those points match that philosophy, that's what you use it for. Who cares? So in that way, then, you just see is that if somebody, you know, follows these things, they've read Gita or something, but in reading Gita, then it's all about, you know, karma or gyan or like that, then you just deal with it accordingly. So it doesn't have to be that you necessarily know, because whatever they do in Bombay, that's different from what will be in Delhi, which will be different from Calcutta, will be different from if they're from, you know, Madras. Like that. So like that, it doesn't really matter because each one has their own unique idea of, you know, what they want to do. So the main point is that if you have those who follow the Vedic culture but are very enamored by a Western advancement and all that, Western facilities and all those kind of things, Western cultural things that they think, you know, they, you know, you have your party and they have their parties and everyone's enjoying at the parties. It's like, how many people have fun at a party? Not very many. There's the idea you should, so people have parties, but most people aren't going to parties regularly. You know, there's this idea that everyone's partying all the time. No one's partying all the time like that. You know, you have a disco. Yes, it'll always be full, but it's not the same people all the time. There's a handful that are always there. Can you hear me? It's still working?
Yes.
Okay. So therefore, you just worry about what are the elements that they're talking about and deal with that, because each one will have his own philosophy. That's the meaning of Hindu. It's just, you know, anything you can put together. You know, a touch of yoga, a little Gita, you know, a little tantra, you know, a little bit of your own things, you know, you read something from, you know, Emerson or Thoreau, and you know, you just throw it, be just like that. So it's just, you understand what you're dealing with, what's the nature of the soul, what's the nature of Krishna, what's the nature of the material energy, what's their relationship, and then you can deal. Does that make sense?
Yes, but my question.
Okay.
Much? Huh. When you speak about the six philosophy, can we say that for most of the people, there is only three choices, like bhakti, karma, and jnana?
Yeah, that's all there is. I mean, that's even in the six philosophies, they still fall within those categories. They're all either karma, jnana, or a mix.
So can we say that for general presentation of Krishna consciousness. This means we can just speak about bhakti, karma, and jnana without other thing.
Yeah, it means who will know the philosophies?
Yes.
Even you have a professor who teaches Eastern philosophies. Does he actually know Jaimini's philosophy? Does he know Shankara's philosophy? He knows a little bit. I mean, if he can say is everything's one and all that, and so they'll mainly talk about, you know, how they dress or what they do or how they eat or don't eat, or like it's just like the animals. You get a book on animals, right? What's it going to talk about? They're eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and what makes them different from the others, and that's it.
Yes.
So if they talk about the Shankarites, as they dress like this and that, and the Vaishnavas are like this, and then, you know, this one's got their danda like this, and that one's got their danda like that, see what a big difference it is, you know, that's what they're going to talk about. They don't know what to talk about. They decide what the curriculum is. You know, they study Tibetan Buddhism. You don't learn anything really about Tibetan Buddhism. You know, like I remember I was once talking to a big musician on the Indian scene. You know, he'd be big. You know, if you have these big, huge programs that they have all the big names come to, he would be one of the ones playing. And so then I was asking some questions and all that, and on some particular technical points. And at one point he stopped me and says, "Where do you get all this?" And I said, well, you know, I'd read this in some, you know, a book like this. And I said, oh, that makes sense. Because his point was, is these questions have nothing to do with anything. It's just like, they're really not, they have nothing to do with Indian music. It's what somebody comes along and you know, academic comes along and looks at it and then makes some speculation about it. So that's what it, you know, because they left it categorized and how much you can do that, then your mentor likes your paper. But his thing is, they have no idea what they're talking about. So that's the difficulty, is that we make up our own ideas about how to perceive something. You know? And so then that's it. So they can take something that's not nice and make it into something nice. And they can take something nice, and by the angle that they use, they make it not nice.
Yes.
You know? You know, like the cars, then they go down the road, and because they go down the road, they, you know, they run over so many bugs. So therefore, you know, bugs' lives matter. So therefore, you know, people should stop using cars. You know, they'll pick whatever they like, and to make, if they don't they like something, they just make it bad, no matter how. There's a saying in English: give a dog a bad name, and then hang them.
Yes.
So you just find something to make it, then throw it out. You don't look at anything good or anything. So like that, we have to be very, very careful that we're not doing that. Same with the Vedic culture. You know, people have said this, they have their own ideas, because it's not just this. It's just how many academics have a problem with Chinese culture? Or what about the Incans? Or the Mayans, or let's say, you know, there was that the Ethiopians, you know, or the Zulus,
yes,
or let's say the ancient Greeks, the ancient Romans, Genghis Khan, you know, and his hordes, you know, so, you know, and or let's say the American Indians, you know, the Cherokee or the Iroquois or the Navajo. You know, if you get, no, nobody has any problem. Indian? Oh, immediately problem. If you look at it, the academy is biased against India. They'll never allow it to be said that these guys are so far, light years ahead in academic excellence to any other place on the planet, especially Europe. Like Europe was like the farthest behind of everybody, you know? Does that make sense? You know, unless, of course, you want to take Europe as Greeks. And is Western Europe going to identify that they're Greeks? No. Okay. I rest my case. So that's the whole point, is that But they have a problem with India. Nothing can come out of India. It had to have come from Europe. You know, because Greek was trading with India, therefore India got it from the Greeks. So like that, you know, so you see is that it's just there's this inherent bias. They don't even know it. But it's just because it's the main place. Everybody comes to India. Right? You're going up to the heaven planet, you go through here. You're coming down, you come through here. So from there, you take birth in India. You're pious enough to maintain human life, but not pious enough to maintain a follower of the Vedic culture. You take birth in the West. That's explained in the 11th canto. You know, that's why you... Have we gone silent again? No? Okay.
No.
So that's why you see these people, they come up with things. Where do they get this stuff from? You know? You know, like J.R. Tolkien or something, and it's, you know, Cimmerillion and all. You know, they go into all these things. Like they just were Puranikas before. You know, or these musicians. How is it this, you know, kid at 6 years old is the court musician for the empress? You know, they've been doing all this stuff before. Where does all this stuff come from? Prabhupada mentioned about how Bach's music is similar to Samaved. So that means you must have been doing that, you know. Then it's just there's something left in the back. They don't know where it's from. You know, so you have fun like that. So the point is that, you know, you have Indians who are enamored by all these places, and then that's where they'll be. You know, they're enamored by, English, they'll be over there. By the French, they'll be over there. I remember seeing in Calcutta, back in the temple there, it's, you know, late 70s, early 80s, that all these gentlemen who come to the temple, each one looked like a different place in Europe. You know, you had those who were the Germans, you had those who were the English, those who were the French, you know, like that. It's just, you could just see it in their face, how they dealt, how they dressed, how they shaved their beard, how they did everything. You just knew, next life they're ending up over there.
And Maharaj, between Calcutta and Navadvip, you can say like that, you know, there are many small cities between...
Oops. Somehow or another, we lost you.
Yeah, it's just Devashi Prabhu. I think today his connection's not so good.
Oh. 1-2 minutes again.
Oh, now we have you back.
You're back. Welcome back.
Back to Godhead.
That's even better.
Back to Godhead. So, Maharaj, it's very interesting to see that between Calcutta and Navadvip, you know, by train station, many cities are. Have been made by Western Europe people. We have some from France, Chandranagar. We have a bundle from Portuguese. We have also Dutch, country. So every city has their own, we can say flavor, you know, from the country, you know, that we are. Mm-hmm. And I've been mainly myself in Chandranagar for quite a few months. So it's like they learn, they speak French a little bit, you know. They try to imitate the French people, you know.
Yes.
Indians
are the best for fitting in. So this whole idea we should just fit in, that's an Indian thing. Like Americans, they never have the idea to fit in. They go to Europe, I do what I want, you know. Why can't I wear my baseball hat? Why can't I walk around in my T-shirt and sneakers? Why can't I wear my shorts into the restaurant? You know, what's wrong with these guys? You know? And so if the devotees are saying, oh, we should fit in, that's coming from the Hindus. You know? I don't think they want to hear that, but, you know, that's coming from Indians. They can fit into anywhere. They can blend into anywhere. You know, even within the cultures in India, they can move around in them and fit in. You know, if you're doing business, like the Marwaris in Calcutta, they all speak perfect Bengali, you know, but they also speak Hindi. They also, you know, they speak Marwari and they also speak Bhojpuri. Why Bhojpuri? Because all the guys from Bihar are the ones that carry around all the stuff. You know, the Bengalis are the ones that come and buy their stuff, you know, you know, like that. And so then, you know, when the Bengalis, you know, amongst themselves, officially they'll talk Hindi, and then they'll talk Hindi to the Bengalis that don't want people to know they're Bengali, so they speak Hindi, and you know, all that kind of stuff. So they can speak like four languages, you know, just like that from being there. And then you'll find the guys in Assam, they'll speak Assamese, and South Indian, they'll speak that. Wherever they go, they know the language, they know the people, they know how they do, they know everything. So they are able to adjust. That's the whole point. The Vedic culture can accommodate all these different things, but at the same time as you have the standards set by the Shastra, by the Acharyas. And so you stay within that context.
Yes.
And then within that, then yes, then you have the local, you know, regional differences based on the weather, based on availability of foodstuffs, the nature of the people, all those things. And so different things will be more prominent for them, others be less prominent, you know, like that. So, you know, that's the thing. It's comfortable. Like north, they're into their north things, south, they're into their south things. Bengalis, they have elements of both north and south. They can work with either of them. At the same time, they're kind of unique in themselves. So, you know, you get these things. So the fitting in part, that's not the difficult thing. You know, if you appreciate culture, you appreciate uniqueness of culture, then whatever culture you're in, you adjust to that. You know, you go to the Chinese restaurant, eat with chopsticks. You don't eat with a fork. You know, you go to the Indian place, eat with your fingers. You don't eat with a fork. You know, you go to the Italian restaurant, you eat with a fork. Right? Yeah. Like that. So it's if you have an appreciation for culture, then you can adjust. And if you don't have appreciation, or you think just what you're doing, or you have appreciation for culture, but there's too much false ego, then you can only accommodate your culture. You know? So that's therefore Lord Chaitanya is saying being meek and humble. Then whoever you go, wherever you meet, and that you can deal nicely. You know?
Yes.
Doesn't mean you're a pushover, but it just says meek and humble. That's the general thing you'll use.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, no, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thus, I end my description of the beginning of the tour of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Oh, here. When a person actually revives his Krishna consciousness with thoughts of Krishna by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, means by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you can remember Krishna because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. He revives his spiritual life and becomes addicted to the service of the Lord. Only then can he act as an acharya, because he's addicted to it. He'll always be doing it. And that's the example. Acharya means you teach by example. And what's the example? Always being absorbed in Krishna's service. In this way, okay. In other words, everyone should engage in preaching, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, one will be very much appreciated by Lord Krishna and will quickly be recognized by him. Actually, a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must engage in preaching in order to increase the followers of the Lord. By thus preaching actual Vedic knowledge all over the world, one will benefit all mankind. 27153-155. So we're not about Vedic culture or knowledge. We're about actual Vedic culture and knowledge, which means devotional service. 27153-155. I admit that I do not know the beginning or end of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. However, whatever I have written, I have heard from the mouths of great personalities. O devotees, please do not consider my offenses in this regard. Your lotus feet are my only shelter. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. When a person actually receives his consciousness with thoughts of Krishna, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revives his spiritual life and becomes addicted to the service of the Lord. Only then can he act as an acharya. In other words, everyone should engage in preaching, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, one will be very much appreciated by Lord Krishna and will quickly be recognized by him. Actually, a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must engage in preaching in order to increase the followers of the Lord. By thus preaching actual Vedic knowledge all over the world, one will benefit all mankind. 152 purport. Although Vasudev Vipra was a leper and had suffered greatly, still after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cured him, he instructed him to preach Krishna consciousness. Indeed, the only return the Lord wanted was that Vasudev preach the instructions of Krishna and liberate all human beings. That is the process of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If one wants to be recognized as devotee by Krishna, he should take to preaching work, following the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Krishna himself, without delay. Yes, 148 purport. It is to be understood that people are really interested in preaching in a favorable condition. If the candidates for conversation are too disturbing, a preacher may not attempt to spread Krishna consciousness amongst them. It's better to go where the situation is more favorable. 109 purport. Right? So the point is that since time is limited, you know, effort is limited, therefore, then you go to those places where you get results. So one's always preaching. It's not that, oh, it doesn't work, I give up preaching. It just means that you find those places where it works for you and you preach there. Then everything will be nice. Then you can get a lot of results. And someone else will be preaching in a different area. So it's not that everybody has to fight over the same, you know, Bhakta Jose. Right? That makes sense. So the point is this, Krishna is making so many nice arrangements for us, and all he asks us is that we practice Krishna consciousness, we preach Krishna consciousness. So that's what it's for. So the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a society in which the community is those who practice Krishna consciousness and those who preach it, right? And so that preaching is, you have preaching to the devotees, you have preaching to outside, you have your own contemplation, so you're correcting yourself. Within that, then we're serving the Vaishnavas, we're tasting Krishna consciousness. So all these things are going on. That's Krishna society. Yeah. Chapter 8, talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Pratigya, the goal of life cannot be achieved unless one practices the process. Right? So in other words, to have the knowledge and not apply it, then that's kripana, that's maitri. So the goal is achieved by practicing the process. You have the sambandha gyan. Then through abhideya, you practice it. Then you get the goal of life, of prema. Like that. That's the whole thing. It's whatever you're working in, it should be applied. So knowledge, when it's applied, then you can say that's science. Right? And then according to the time, place, and circumstance you're in, adjusting for that, that's the art. But the application of it, that's the science. If it's not applied, it's not science. It's just theory. Adhyaya Prakashika. The summary of the 8th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabhaha Bhasya. After visiting the temple of Jiyara Nrisinga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the banks of the river Godavari, to a place known as Vidyanagara. When Srila Ramananda Roy went there to take his bath, they met. After introducing himself, Sri Ramananda Rai requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to remain in the village for some days. Honoring his request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed there in the home of some Vedic Brahmanas. In the evening, Srila Ramananda Rai used to come to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Rai, who was clothed in ordinary dress, offered the Lord respectful obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questioned him on the object and process of worship and also asked him to recite verses from the Vedic literature. First of all, Srila Ramananda Rai enunciated the system of the Varnashram institution. He recited various verses about Karmarpana, stating that everything should be dedicated to the Lord. He then spoke of detached action, knowledge mixed with devotional service. Right? So in other words, the Karma Yoga, then the Jnana Yoga and all that. But it's more about on the karma here and more about on the jnana. Right? So it's not quite enough. It means the Karma Yoga and Jnana, you have to make sure the yoga aspect is there. Right. He then spoke of detached action, knowledge mixed with devotional service. And finally, the spontaneous loving service to the Lord. After hearing Srila Ramananda Rai recite some verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the principle of pure devotional service, devoid of all kinds of speculation. So that's what you want. So you can use that in your activities and your knowledge, but it has to be pure devotion. That's then what is the basis of the whole process. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai to explain the higher platform of devotional service. Then Srila Ramananda Rai explained unalloyed devotional service, love of Godhead, and serving the Lord in the moods of pure servitude, fraternity, and parental love. Finally, he spoke of serving the Lord in conjugal love. He then spoke of how conjugal love can be developed in various ways. This conjugal love attains its highest perfection in Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. He next described the position of Srimati Radharani and the transcendental mellows of love of Godhead. Srila Ramananda Rai then recited a verse of his own concerning the platform of ecstatic vision, technically called Prema Vilas Vivarta. Srila Ramananda Rai also explained that all stages of conjugal love can be attained through the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, especially by the mercy of the gopis. All these subject matters were thus vividly described. Gradually, Ramananda Rai could understand the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had exhibited his real form, Ramananda Rai fell unconscious. After some days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai to retire from government service and come to Jagannath Puri. These descriptions of the meetings between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are taken from the notebook of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Jagadish has a question.
No, Maharaj, I just wanted to see you all.
Okay. The Gauranganodesh Deepika 1:20-24 states that Ramananda Rai was formerly Arjuna. He also is considered to have been an incarnation of the gopi Lalita. Although, in the opinion of others, he was an incarnation of Vishakha Devi. He was a most confidential devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, although I am a sannyasi, my mind is sometimes perturbed when I see a woman. But Ramananda Rai is greater than me, for he is always undisturbed, even when he touches a woman. Only Ramananda Rai was endowed with the prerogative to touch a woman in this way. No one should imitate him. Footnote 4. This refers to Ramananda Rai's assisting the professional dancers who engage in acting out his drama entitled Jagannath Vallabh Nataka. This pastime is related in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, Chapter 5. Unfortunately, there are rascals who imitate the activities of Ramananda Rai. We need not discuss them further. In Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's final pastimes, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar always engaged in reciting suitable verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and other books to pacify the Lord's ecstatic feelings of separation from Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya went to southern India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised him to meet Ramananda Rai, declaring that there was no devotee as advanced in understanding the conjugal love of Krishna and the gopis. While touring South India, Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Rai by the bank of the Godavari, and in their long discourses, the Lord took the position of a student, and Ramananda Rai instructed him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded these discourses by saying, my dear Ramananda Rai, both you and I are madmen, and therefore we met intimately on an equal level. Lord Chaitanya advised Ramananda Rai to resign from his government post and come back to Jagannath Puri to live with him. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see Maharaj Prataparudra because he was a king, Ramananda Rai, by a Vaishnava scheme, arranged a meeting between the Lord and the king. This is described in Madhya Lila, chapter 12, verses 41 to 57. Sri Ramananda Rai was present during the water sports of the Lord after the Ratha Yatra festival. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered Sri Ramananda Rai and Sri Sanatana Goswami to be equal in their renunciation. For although Sri Ramananda Rai was a grihastha engaged in government service, and Sri Sanatana Goswami was in the renounced order of complete detachment from material activities, they were both servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who kept Krishna in the center of all their activities. Sri Ramananda Rai was one of 3.5 personalities with whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed the confidential topics of Krishna consciousness. Footnote 5. The three were Swarup Gosai, Sri Ramananda Rai, and Sikhi Mahiti, and Sikhi Mahiti's sister. Madhavi Devi, being a woman, was considered the half. Adi Lila 10.137, purport. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Prajumna Mishra to learn the science of Krishna from Sri Ramananda Rai. As Subal always assisted Krishna in his dealings with Radharani and Krishna Lila, so Ramananda Rai assisted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his feelings of separation from Krishna. Sri Ramananda Rai was the author of the Jagannath Vallabh Nataka. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 10.134, purport. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses 1 through 8. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits Jiyada Nrisinga. 9-54, the Lord meets with Ramananda Rai. 55-313, Sri Ramananda Sambhad. So serious instructions. Right. Okay, so we'll end here for today. Jai. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.
Jai.
Hare Bhava, Hare Bhava.